Well, I'm going to ask Pastor David to come and share the Word of God. Can you encourage him as he comes this morning?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I think we should give Pastor Bethwyn a hand too for this morning. Well, it's just good to see you all. You're looking good. How about giving somebody next to you a big smile and say, you look terrific? Yeah. Yeah. Well, welcome to Real Life Church. And my brothers and sisters, I wanted to say brothers and sisters this morning. How about it? My dear brothers, I'm going to say it again, my dear brothers and sisters. Something else I want to say to you is, I just want to say thank you for being so generous as a church. What a wonderful Christian community we have here. Let's not take each other for granted. We are all different. We have different personalities. We see the world a little bit differently from time to time. But one thing about Real Life Church is that this is a very generous church. And we've just had our missions offering. We do this the second Sunday of every month. And right now, we're on track for hitting our pledges in the month of June. That's a miracle. And that's over and above our tithes and our offerings. And you know so much pours out of this church to the community. And that's part of our missions, isn't it? The community out there. But I just want everybody to just look at my eyes, my blue eyes. That matches my shirt. You should have all noticed. But I mean this sincerely. Thank you. Thank you. It really means a lot. And in the perspective of eternity, giving into missions is the best form of financial investment that you can be involved in. What a great story from Linda. Seriously? Just wonderful. And all our mission is achieving great things because Real Life Church, we're not a rich church, but we're a blessed church. And we know how to give. And Father, I just thank you for this great church. I bless my brothers and sisters. Lord, today I just want to bless our seniors, our pensioners. I thank you that we have generous pensioners here at Real Life Church. Lord, who give so generously, right through to the young ones who give so generously. And Lord, I just pray you'll open up the windows of heaven over Real Life Church today. I pray the favor of God upon each person in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I also just want to pray. So I've got a message that's just been burning on my heart. It's called One Lost Soul, and you'll pick that up in a minute as we go through this message. But I just wanted us to make room just for a moment to let the power of God just flow over this congregation right now. A lot of people have been ill. There are flus going around and different things going around. And maybe you've come into this place and you're burdened. Well, thank God we can come to Jesus Christ. Who remembers that message I preached a few weeks ago about the shortest prayer? Jesus. So let's just stand on our feet, shall we? Maybe you need a touch of God upon yourself, upon your kids, your grandkids, your mates, whatever it is. Maybe we could just lift our hands to the Lord by faith. And why don't we pray that short prayer now? The shortest prayer. Jesus. Come on again. Jesus. One more time. Jesus. 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 And Father, we just pray for one another in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray good health, Lord, to flow right through this church for people at the back, people at the front. Lord, we bring our burdens to you, burdens concerning our marriages, burdens about our kids, our grandkids, whatever it may be, our exams, studies, whatever. Lord, our finances, we bring all our burdens to you and we cast our burdens upon Jesus Christ today. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So in Jesus' name, be free. Be free. Could somebody shout out hallelujah? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And Father, we pray over this message today. Lord, we pray our hearts will be good ground. Help us to be attentive. And Lord, we pray every one of us will hear the voice of the Lord today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, everybody. Title of this message that I've just said is One Lost Soul. And we've been, actually, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about this theme, Thrive, haven't we? And, you know, and that really should be an ongoing theme, really, through the year. Every message that we bring, we need to be reminded that God wants to bless. God is a God of favor, and He wants us to thrive. But this today's message goes a little bit differently, and I'm going to be reading a wonderful passage from, I'm going to be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 15. Reading from the Message version, and we'll have it on the screens. And here we go. By the way, the fact that we have the scriptures on the screens is just purely for practical purposes. Number one, some people don't have a Bible and maybe they're not used to coming to church, so it's good that they've got the scripture on the screen. Number two, there's that many versions of the Bible, it's hard to follow, isn't it? But still, we need to make sure that we read our Bibles and pray every day. Amen? You know, so you can't just go your whole week on what's put on the screens at church. You need to read your Bible during the week. But here we go. Says tax collectors and other notorious sinners. I've always thought tax collectors are notorious sinners. Anybody with me on that one? Moving right along. Okay. Tax collectors. This is a message version. And other notorious sinners often came. I love this. Notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people and even eating with them. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. Isn't that great? Jesus was hanging around with people of doubtful reputation. So, you know, if you've got a doubtful reputation here today, Jesus will come and hang out with you. Amen. The Pharisees and religion scholars were not pleased. Not at all. Not at all pleased. They growled, "He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends." I love that. I love that. Their grumbling triggered this response from Jesus. So now Jesus has given his response to their attitudes. Told them a story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? When found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing, and when you got home, call in your friends and neighbors, saying, "Celebrate with me. I found my lost sheep." Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. Or imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Now, these 10 coins are valuable coins. He's not talking about 20-cent pieces here. I just want to get that clear. You know, this is like her super. Let's put it comparatively to that. Imagine a woman who has 10 coins and she loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her friends and neighbors. "Celebrate with me. I found my lost coin." Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. I've got to have a drink of water, but isn't that a great passage? I'd probably prefer coffee right now, but this will do. A lot of people, actually, wasn't it last weekend they had that tribute to Bon Scott? And that song, "It's a Highway to Hell." And there's a line in there, I read through the lyrics of "The Highway to Hell." And there's a line in there, he's talking about all his friends having a party in hell. Well, there's not going to be any party in hell. The party's here in heaven. That's where the party is. And the angels in heaven, when you think about it, they must be in one party after another because they celebrate every time one lost soul turns to God. So somewhere in the world, somebody's turning to God, so they must be in a perpetual party all the time. And then the other thing that occurs to me is that these parties in heaven are not small parties. It's not like there's 10 angels in heaven. You know, they're huge celebration parties in heaven because there are countless numbers of angels in heaven. And so if you've turned to God, and just check in, has anybody turned to God? If you've turned to God, repented and turned to God, then if you can remember when that happened, on that special day, there was a huge party in heaven as the angels celebrated your decision to follow Jesus Christ. And, you know, just think about that happening for a moment. You know, was your face up on big TV screens in heaven? I don't know. All I do know is that heaven knows who you are. Here you are living in Little Armidale's, Gosnells or Perth. And most people might not know who you are. But if you turn to God, heaven knows who you are. When you walk the streets of gold, an angel will be walking by and go, high five, I know who you are. Amen. They know who you are. And every time a follower of Jesus passes from this life into the next, who's ready to go? You know, I'm ready to go. I've got more work to do, so we've got to stay here for a while longer. But, you know, every time a follower of Jesus passes from this life into the next, the angels of God are there to give that saint of God a huge welcome. Welcome home. Welcome home. We're so glad you're here. And they give a big cheer and celebrate. So the angels of heaven, angels know how to party and celebrate. And celebrate they do, especially over one lost soul who turns to Almighty God. The reason why the angels celebrate over one lost soul who turns to God is because they're celebrating with God. God celebrates. Just as the Middle Eastern shepherd did everything he could to recover the lost sheep, just as the woman did everything she could to find her valuable lost coin, so God, please listen to this. So God does everything that he can to convince a lost sinner to turn to him. And when a lost sinner finally repents and turns to God, God then turns to the angels and he says, celebrate with me. That's why the angels celebrate. And the angels of heaven celebrate with great joy. How deeply wonderful it must be for the angels of heaven to celebrate over a lost sinner. How deeply wonderful it is when a lost sinner repents and is made right with God. Amen. You know, I believe God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Absolutely. And when God created the stars and the galaxies, which are just huge, you know, and he created the vast universe, and when he created the earth with all of its mighty splendor, you know what God said? He said, it was good. Then he made Adam and Eve. And then he got even a little bit more excited. He said, this is very good. However, when one lost soul, rich, poor, old, young, black, brown, white, it doesn't really matter, so long as it's a lost sinner. When that one lost sinner repents and turns to God, then God throws a huge party. Is more than very good. A repentant sinner who turns to God is more valuable to God than the whole of the creation. That's why Jesus said of himself in Luke 19, for the Son of Man, Jesus called himself the Son of Man, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. That's why he came. Then Jesus explained with this profound verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have. And then the book of Romans, which is part of the Bible, says this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still lousy sinners. Oh, I just inserted that myself. 1 Timothy says this, I urge you to pray for all people. This is for us. Pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everybody to be saved and to understand the truth. Make no mistake about it, Real Life Church. God loves sinners. You might not, but God loves sinners. No matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, God loves sinners. And God wants all sinners to be saved from their sin. I'll say it again. We read it in the Bible. God wants all sinners to be saved from their sin. People that you really don't like. People who you find it hard to get along with. People that you have stereotyped and been judgmental about. People in our own community. People overseas. People who dress differently. People with different color skin. Let me tell you, God wants all sinners to come to know Jesus and be saved. It's His desire and it's His will. However, here is the rub. Here is something that we need to understand. God only ever reaches lost sinners through His people. God only ever reaches lost people, lost sinners through His people. God uses people who once were sinners, but they are now devoted followers of Jesus. God uses people who can testify, once I was lost, but now I am found. Everybody listening okay? Yeah. Praise God. You know what I hate? I'm going to say it. I hate it when I'm preaching somebody gets up in the middle of my sermon. Just letting you know, we just had three walk out then, and they could walk out for all sorts of reasons, but when I'm preaching the Word of God, I expect people to sit in their seats. Just saying it how it is. Sorry, I just had to get it off my chest. Sorry, Rochelle. I'll get told off later. I may be a nice guy, but on the inside I'm thinking, this is a good message. You need to be sitting here listening to it. Anyway, moving right along. We're rescued to rescue other people. And this is true. God uses people who've experienced the power of the cross to help other people. We are God's hands. We are God's feet. We are His mouthpiece. We represent Jesus to the world. How are we doing with that? You know, for many people, all they will ever know about Jesus Christ is what they see in you. And in me. And we know Jesus. We know what Jesus has done to win us to God. We are carriers of the good news message of eternal life. And whether you like it or not, right now I don't really care, I'm in that kind of mood. God's... I told you I needed coffee. But this is true. This is true. This is so important. God's primary purpose for you. People are saying, what does God want me to do? Why am I even here? Let me tell you. Your primary purpose for your life is to be the light of the world. So get on with it. Pointing people to Jesus. And if we Christians do not share our faith, if we do not make Jesus known to the world, then lost sinners will remain lost forever. Absolutely. That is theologically correct. Charles Studd, a famous British cricketer and very wealthy man, he was born into great wealth. He got born again and he became so bothered by this truth that I'm sharing with you today that he actually gave away all of his money and he was heavily criticized for it. Gave away all of his wealth and he became a missionary. And he famously said with great passion, some wish to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell, but I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. May Real Life Church be a rescue shop within a yard of hell. See, God does not have a plan B to reach the world. He doesn't. And it's not the angels. They'll celebrate. The angels will weep over the world. But God does not have a plan B to reach the world. It's not the angels. God has no fallback position. God never has had a plan B. He only has one plan to reach lost sinners, and we're it. You are it. You are it. You're his plan. And all I can say is, God help us. God help us. God help the world. Indeed, the Bible says in Romans 10, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's great. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never even heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Tell them. We've got to tell others about Jesus Christ. Now, over the years, I do a lot of reading, and I've read really exciting stories. I'm actually reading an exciting book at the moment of mighty men and women, heroes of the faith, who have preached and won thousands of people to Jesus. I find those kind of things incredibly inspiring. I've seen video clips of guys like Ryan Obonke, who's gone to be with the Lord, leading tens of thousands of people to Jesus. What a preacher he was. And then there's Billy Graham, who's also gone to be with the Lord, and his soul-winning crusades. And just, you know, if you've heard these guys preach, because, you know, there's the videos of them, it's just, what can you say? It's just incredible. I've read about revivals in other nations where people repent of their sins and turn to God. I was so hungry for revival. Rochelle and I were just so hungry for revival today. But we spent a lot of money during the 90s on... Actually, we went over to Pensacola. Who's ever heard of Pensacola? I've told you about that. Went over there because they were in revival. I was hoping some of it would rub off on me. But just to be in services that would go for hours, every night after night, and then they'd give an altar call, and the altar call would be just packed with repentant sinners. Never seen anything like it. One night they had a guy called Yonggi Cho. Anybody heard of him? Largest church in the world. He preached for 3 hours straight. A couple of guys in front of me, teen guys. I could see that they were not walking with the Lord. And they sat through a three-hour sermon that it was hard to understand. And then it finished at 11 o'clock at night. I remember just whispering to Rochelle, oh, surely tonight they're going to dismiss us and let us go home. No way. No way. Then the evangelist got up and he did the altar call for 30 minutes. And then he gave an altar call and it was packed with repentant sinners, including the two young guys who were in front of us. And that's what revival does. That's what revival does. And those videos, exciting books, make soul winning seem so easy. And all of that is good, but it can unintentionally make you think that's the only way that God wins the lost. Because I went and visited, but I've actually never been part of anything like that. It's not been in my life. I've never found soul winning easy. I still don't find it easy. I don't think most Christians, if they were honest, find it easy. It's a battle to win somebody to Jesus. I was brought up in Belmont High School. And you've got to be brave to walk out now, haven't you? But that's okay. If you've got to go to the toilet, that's okay. I get over it. I shouldn't have said what I said. I'm already regretting it. I was brought up in Belmont. That's my excuse. I went to Belmay Primary School. And then I went to Belmont High School. And then I moved up in life, and then we went to live in Armidale. I lived in Armidale for 18 years, and then I finally moved to the leafy suburb of Gosnells. So you can see that I've been around. But the truth is, I've been in lots of good church services, obviously I have, but I've never seen revival in any places that I've ever lived, not at all. I've never seen people lining up to come to our churches. But I've always shared with people about Jesus anyway, even if we're not in revival. And I found that you can still lead people to Jesus even if you're not in revival. And I thank God that I've been able to do that. And it's such an honor to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. But it's been really tough. I've always found it tough. I always wished I was a better soul winner than what I've been. I found that winning people to Jesus often requires courage. It does. It does require, you know, to open your mouth and speak if it's at work or whatever. It does. And I also found that it takes lots of patience. You're in these meetings with Ryan Humbonke, everybody gets saved. With me, it takes ages. You know, you've got to have lots of patience because the wheels turn slowly. Then you've got to pray a lot, lots of prayers. And then sometimes you cry a lot because there's lots of tears. Oftentimes, people get saved, but oftentimes people have rejected what I've said. I've had people, lots of people reject what I say. Other people have been indifferent and couldn't care less what I've said. And that's okay because seeds are planted in people's hearts. Also, when I'm not trying to be negative, I'm trying to put a perspective on this because I think some of you would identify with what I'm saying. When I've led people to the Lord, sometimes some people have fallen back into the world. And that is just the most heartbreaking thing of all. But again, the seeds of truth continue to work in the backslider's heart. Nonetheless, all I know is this, is that God has given me, all of us, he's given me my own personal mission field. Amen. Amen. Pastor Bethrin's over there a lot too, and that's what it represents. And the mission field is people in my world, people in my sphere of influence. That includes my family. We've all got responsibilities for our family, huh? You know, your family is really super special because God's trusted the family you've got with you. You know, he hasn't trusted them with me; he's trusted you with them. You know, your family, your friends, neighbours. My local barista, and people that move in and out of my life. I am Jesus Christ to all of those people in my world. You also have a personal mission field. You have people in your world that you connect to, workmates, kids, grandkids if you've got them, maybe schoolmates, university mates, sport mates. You are Jesus to all of these people. And you'll be amazed. You might not have even opened your mouth, but you'll be amazed how many people actually really know that you're a Christian. They know. They know. And you may want your friends to read the Bible, but they're going to read you first before they ever get around to reading the Bible. They want to see if you really are the real deal, you know, and not just full of hot wind. So remember that you are God's hands, you're God's feet, and he reaches through you to those people in your life. Indeed, you are a missionary right where you live. Yeah, you are. And really, what we should do at Real Life Church is put all of our faces up on the missionary board. Amen. We just don't have enough room. But all followers of Jesus Christ are missionaries when you think about it. However, just because I've said that you're a missionary right where you live, don't go weird. Don't go super spiritual, everybody. Let's not do weird. Don't preach at people. Blah, 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 blah. God doesn't want you preaching at people. That just pushes people right away. Especially if you preach at your family. Just don't even go there. So just a couple of, before I'll be rounding this off, but just a couple of words of advice. I implore you, be yourself in Jesus' name. Don't try and be Billy Graham. There's only one Billy Graham. He's gone now. Lighten up, be down to earth, be real. Here's an important one. Be respectful of other people's points of view. Be patient, be joyful, and keep loving Jesus. And don't, here's another one, and whatever, here we go. Don't push your Christian morals on people and argue about what you believe. Don't do that. We are not here as Christians. We're not called here to moralize society. We're not. Should people live moral lives? Absolutely. Absolutely. But we're not called to moralize society. We're not here to convince people that everything in the Bible is true. Is everything in the Bible true? Absolutely. I believe it with all my heart. I believe with every fiber of my being. But my job is not to convince the world that everything in the Bible is true. We are here. Our job is that we're here to introduce people to Jesus Christ. That is our primary purpose. And we do that by sharing what Jesus Christ has done for us. As the opportunities arise. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a highly opinionated man. Who knows that? I'll be honest. I have strong opinions on, you name any subject, I have a strong opinion about it. I love a good debate. I'll debate anybody. I love a good debate. And there's a place for such discussions like that in life. I get that. But the older I get, the more I'm learning. Dave, just keep your mouth shut. Couple of reasons. No one really wants to hear my opinions anyway. Especially at home. And also, I don't know about you guys, but there's just too many people who are angry. Yeah. And I don't want to put fuel on the fire, you know. Everybody's divided as it is. And besides, I would rather win a person to Jesus than win an argument about religion. I'm not interested in winning arguments. I'm interested in winning people. I'd rather know that the angels of heaven are celebrating rather than knowing I've shouted somebody down. See, the Holy Spirit can sort out people's morals after they get saved. That's about discipleship. I'm talking about winning people to Jesus. So there's just two things, simple things that you could do, whoever you are, to help you reach people in your mission field. I'll go really quick. Number one thing is, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, said, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Number one is look for common ground when connecting with people. Show genuine interest in what other people are interested in. And that's not always easy because some things are boring. But put your phone away, switch it off. And ask questions and listen to people talk. Hear what they've got to say. And your active listening is a huge gift to give someone these days because nobody else is doing it. And if you want people to listen to what you have to say about what is important to you, then you first have to listen to other people talk about what is important to them. That's called being respectful. As followers of Jesus Christ, let's look for common ground with everyone so that we can be relatable and likable. Then people are more inclined to hear what Jesus Christ has done for you. Secondly, and final point, this is a really deep one. We're going to go really deep right now. Just be kind. Just be kind. Could somebody be kind? There's a famine of kindness in the land. People are beating each other up over toilet paper. Seriously, I saw it on the news last night. In our selfish world, people are thirsty for kindness, but they don't often realize how thirsty they are until someone shows them kindness. The Bible says that followers of Jesus Christ have the capacity to be kind. Galatians 5:22, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. And right through the Gospels, we have numerous acts of kindness that have been recorded that impacted people's lives. For example, in the book of Mark, in chapter 2, we read of a man who was paralyzed. But he had four good friends. Thank God for good friends. Be a friend to somebody. And these four friends showed him kindness by carrying him to Jesus because they heard that Jesus could do miracles. But they couldn't get their paralyzed friend into the house where Jesus was teaching because the crowds were huge. It was packed. There was no way they could get through the crowds to Jesus. So one of them had a bright idea. Let's go up on the roof and dig a hole in the roof. And so it became awkward. It became difficult. But they climbed up on the roof. And surely it must have been a hassle to them. Who's ever gone to do something kind and you thought it would be easy, but then it becomes a real hassle. Oh yeah, I'll help you move, and you, and it's just you and them, you know. Wasn't there anybody else? No. That's one of those situations. They've got to go up on the roof. They're digging into this roof. And I can imagine the paralyzed man, he was probably, you know, embarrassed and tried to talk them out of it. Oh, I'm inconveniencing these guys. I've been paralyzed for years. A few more years won't matter. Come on, guys. You know, don't put yourselves out. But these four friends showed authentic kindness. And they climbed onto the roof and somehow they dug a hole in it. And then they lowered their paralyzed friend down to the feet of Jesus. This man then, guess what? He had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus spoke into his life and his sins were forgiven. And then he was healed and he walked straight out of the doors. It was kindness that brought the man to Jesus. People, you see, they don't care about your theology. People just don't care about your theology. People actually don't even care about the Bible. And people don't care what you believe. They want you to know what they believe. People care about whether you care about them. Finding common ground with people and showing kindness helps to lead people to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this local community came to know our church, Real Life Church, us people here, as the kind church? See, we might not be especially smart. We might not be gifted or clever people here. Maybe you are, but I certainly aren't. I don't think the bulk of us are. We're just ordinary people, aren't we? But we can all be kind to people. We can all do that. In your mission field, look for common ground to connect with people and practice acts of kindness. And may God grant to you the honor of leading people to faith in Jesus Christ. Let's stand, and I just want to read this passage to you. Imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scour the house, look in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her friends and neighbors. Celebrate with me. I found my lost coin. Count on it, Jesus said. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. It's all about winning the one lost soul. Come on, let's pray. Just pray. And I just pray that God's pricked your heart today and spoken to you into your heart today. Have you ever, when was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When was the last time you prayed with somebody? Have you ever led anybody to Jesus? These are important questions. And I just want to challenge everybody here today with a message like this. I want to challenge you to open your heart to the Lord and say, God, use me. Lord, in 2020, God, use me. God, use me in my mission field. Lord, I don't want to be so distracted by the stuff of life that I forget that I'm meant to be the light of the world. I don't want to be so distracted that I forget that I'm meant to be the light of the world. I just don't want to take my friends for granted and forget that they don't know you. I want my eyes to be open, Lord. Use me. Use me. Use my lips. May I be Jesus to my friends. Lord, open doors. Lord, grant me opportunities so that I can share with people what Jesus has done for me. Lord, use me. Would you pray that from your heart today to the Lord? Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Oh, Lord, use me. And Father, we just stand before you in your presence this Mission Sunday. And Lord, the world's just going crazy out there. Nobody knows what they're doing. The governments don't know what they're doing. People can't tell their left hand from their right hand. And we thank you today that we are born again. We belong to Jesus. And Lord, we've got great treasure within our hearts today. Lord, we want to be the difference in people's lives. Use us here at Real Life Church. Not our programs, Lord. It's not about that. But use us as individuals. Lord, at home, when we do go to the cafe, when we're at the shops, when we're at uni, when we go to work, when we're playing sport and kicking that ball around, whatever it is, whatever context, Lord, use us, we pray. We want to be a soul-winning church, Lord. We want to be a kind church, we pray. In Jesus' name. And maybe right now you've got people upon your heart, family. Oh, how it breaks our hearts, doesn't it, when our family are not walking with the Lord. But the battle's not over. The battle's not over, and we're going to pray. And maybe there's other people, your friend, maybe it's a spouse, a work colleague. You got friends, people in your life that you burn with because they don't know the Lord. Why don't we pray about them right now? Why don't you just see them in your mind's eye and bring them before the throne of God and start to pray. Come on, pray. Come on, we're not giving up. We're standing our ground today. We're standing our ground. We're not giving up. Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. We're seeing this all the way through. And Father, we just pray, Lord, all the faces that have been, people are seeing loved ones in their mind's eye right now. They're bringing them before your throne. And we, Lord, we're not giving up. Lord, we're fighting in Jesus' name. We're patient. And we're calling upon the name of Jesus. And we pray for our loved ones today. We pray for our family today. We pray for our friends today. We are burdened, Lord, for their salvation. And we pray this year will be the year of the breakthrough, where we see loved ones and friends coming to know you as Lord and Savior. We pray for those that we are burdened with. We pray for opportunities to share Jesus with them. But we also pray especially for family, because often, Lord, we know our families won't listen to us. So, Lord, we pray smart prayers today. We pray, Lord, that you'll bring other believers into our children's lives and family lives, people that they respect, people they think have got it together, and they'll listen to them, people they have common ground with. And we pray that the word of God, Lord, will come to our families and we'll see a harvest in our homes, in our families. Pray for our friends at school. Pray for our neighbors. We pray for people we hang out with, our workmates. We pray, Lord, for doors to open. Lord, use us. May we be Jesus to these people, and may we see many fruits saved in 2020. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. And they shouted, hey, I got to do this. Can we just pray one more prayer? I got to do this. I've just been talking about reaching the world. I've been talking about the lost one. And I'm just thinking, oh, everybody here is following Jesus. That's what I'm thinking. But then I'm thinking, no, I'm thinking the wrong thing. There's probably some people here today who are not right with God. And you've been hearing me talk about how Jesus came into the world to seek and save those who are lost. And Jesus is here today, and he's knocking on the door of your heart, and you are lost. You've come to church, it's been great, it's cool, that's all good, but you're lost. Why don't you open your heart to Jesus today? Everybody's praying for you right now. If you're saying, yes, Pastor, would you say a prayer for me? I want to be found by Jesus. I want to turn to God. If that's you, just give me a wave of your hand. Stay where you are, but give me a wave of your hand and I'll pray for you right now. I've got my eyes open, I'm looking around. Everybody else is praying. Can I pray for you? Thank you. God bless you down the back. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Okay, we're going to pray. And hi. And those who have just raised your hand, come and see me straight after the service, but I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Everybody lifting your hands to the Lord. Father, we just pray especially right now for those who have just lifted their hands to you. You are just knocking on the door of their heart and they've opened their door to you. We pray that you'll move into their lives in a powerful way. Lord, they're turning to God. Lord, they're repentant today. We pray you'll wash away all their sins. We pray they'll be born again and become followers of Jesus Christ. We bless them today. And Lord, we pray as they become followers of Jesus Christ, you will fill their lives with good things. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.